Thank you, Miss Celeste Trenchill. Let's give her some more love. And that was a wonderful opening by the Richard Payne Trio with special guest, Mr. Norris Berry on the piano. Thank you so much for being here. Yes, this is wonderful. You know, we're starting to move into the season of Thanksgiving, the season of holiday celebration. And I just want to take a moment to give thanks to a soul who was sent by God to assist me as I was in my recovery phase. And she'll be going back to her home in Jamaica tomorrow. She's been here almost 6 months with me. But I want to thank Miss Yvonne Longmore. Yvonne, could you just stand and raise your hand? Thank you. You know, I've gotten kind of spoiled. You know, she brings me my breakfast in the mornings and takes good care of my mom as well. And I'm just so delighted. It helped me to, you know, gain my strength and to make sure that I had everything that I needed. So God sends you everything that you need when you need it on time. So I wanted her to know that, you know, whenever she comes back to the States, this is her family. She's welcome to come anytime and worship with us. So, yes, grateful and thankful. And we also want to take the moment to acknowledge some beautiful souls who are joining us and seeking to become new members this morning. So I'm going to ask my new members to please come and just stand up here a little bit while we just welcome you. Yeah. So, well, I'm going to be speaking to you, and so I'm going to look at you. But I guess they want to look at you, so I'll just I'll let them look at you. But, you know, we always open with this wonderful scripture that says from Matthew 18, verse 20, where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. That means when we come together in that nature of the divine Christ that indwells us, in the nature of love, in the nature of peace, in the nature of harmony, and in the nature of unity, that power and spirit of God is in the midst of all of us. So, beloved ones, I want you to know that for Unity membership, there are no requirements other than to know God and to understand, love, and obey his laws of being. Unity offers no prescribed doctrine or creed other than to seek the truth and to follow the only commandments that Jesus gave us. And he said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, and with all thy strength, and thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Unity people unite so that they may more effectively minister to the needs of others and may benefit mutually through spiritual community. We unite to work together, to help one another. We unite to join our prayers, our thoughts, our spiritual powers for the enrichment not only of our own lives, but to bless all humankind as well. Because in this manner, we strive to become a force for good and to work for God in the world. In our unity of purpose and under and through our love of God, now as dedicated students of truth, we believe that the revealment of truth is from spirit. And we believe that the church is not really simply a place, but always a people. It's never just a fold, but always a flock. And never just a sacred building, because the building that is the sacred the most is your own indwelling soul. Right. The church is not where you pray, but you who pray. All right. Yes. Yeah, so the church really is you. You are the living church that God celebrates and brings into this world. And so we know that unity means oneness. It means gathering together. It means coming under the leadership of that indwelling Christ of which you all have within you, and to let that light, that Christ light of who you are, shine into the world. And so we're here to celebrate you and to acknowledge your spiritual commitment and your journey as you walk upon this earth. And so we always say that as individual students of truth, you are now drawn into the spirit of cooperation and friendship through the invisible bonds of love. So you are no more strangers or sojourners, but you are now fellow citizens of the household of God. Yes. And Christ himself is the chief cornerstone. So I say to each of you, walk worthily now in this calling to which you have been called, forbearing one another in love, giving diligence to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace, because there's only one body, there's only one Spirit, and you have been called into that Spirit. There's one God, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one Father of all, one Mother of all, who is over all and through all, from Ephesians 4:1-6. And I always like to say and use this particular scripture. There are two of them. One from Ephesians 4:23. It says, "Be ye renewed in the spirit of your mind. Put on the new man, the new woman, after God, who has been created in righteousness and in the holiness of truth." And so we want to say to each of you that it is our privilege to welcome you into this membership. And we say to you, I want you to receive the full and active duties and joy of active membership. And we are going to extend our right hand of fellowship to you, but we also want to offer you the blessing. So I just ask each of you to open your hearts. And the congregation, will you please stand? And we extend our blessing to them, our love to them, as we affirm for them three times, receive ye the Holy Spirit. Together, receive ye the Holy Spirit. Receive ye the Holy Spirit. Receive ye the Holy Spirit. Thank you, beloved ones. You may be seated. And now, beloved ones, it's my privilege on behalf of this fabulous, wonderful membership to now really receive you into the full and active membership of this church. And I like to close with this scripture. It says, "Behold, how good and pleasant it is for brothers and sisters to dwell together in unity." So I want to welcome Miss Pamela Amusa. Miss Myrna Beckford. Miss Joanne Clark. Miss Divica, who I call Divica. Wonderful. You know, it's always such a blessing. It really is a blessing to be able to welcome new souls into our midst. Because what that does for us, it enables us to truly begin to continue to expand our field of consciousness. You know, it enables us to really spread our light even further. Because we all are here because we're light bearers. We're all here because we have a sacred and a powerful work to do. And so I like to say, the more, the merrier. So when they come, we are grateful and thankful. The more, the merrier. I feel like one candidate who's into joy, but I'm feeling a lot of joy and love. I always say, there's only one thing you need to do when you come here. You just got to come in love. Come in love, and we're able to then spread that love and spread that light into the world. Because after all, that's why we are all here. Not just here, but here. We are all here, right, to share our gifts, our talents, our goodness, right, and to spread it and move it into the collective. You know, this time that we're in is no longer just a time about me, me, me. This is a time about we. And the collective, which means all of us, all people on the planet, and I would even go so far as to say all life form on the planet. I'm going to include the two-leggeds, the four-leggeds, the winged ones, the creepy crawlers. Right? They're all a part of it. And we are all here to serve each other because they exist upon this earth. And so we're here to really elevate the spirit and the energy that is upon this earth. We're bringing heaven upon the earth, not as a metaphor, but as a living reality. And so this is our moment in time to do that. So I always say, you know, there's nothing like the call is for light bearers and truth tellers and hallowed healers, because all of that is needed more than ever before on this planet. Right? Ever before. So this is our time. Yesterday, I had a wonderful opportunity to participate in a powerful panel discussion, and I thank Cliff and Malva for coming and supporting. But it was an event hosted by Sister Jenna of the Brahma Kumaris, and the event and her vision and program is called Meditate the Vote. And so we had a really rich and lively discussion with varied thoughts and perspectives. But what I loved about it is that we could, while maybe there might have been some differences between us and in our expression, but we could hear and we could receive each other's comments and light and love and perspective, even if it may have been different from our own, and it wasn't much difference, but there was a sense of mutual respect and honor. Because one of the things that all of us on the panel noted was that this current state that we are in, mostly we see it in our country, but it's not just in here, it's really on the planet and on the globe. But the current state that we are in seems to be one where we have lost our ability or maybe lost our willingness to hear and or listen to one another. We hear, but we're so quick to put our hands up, turn away. And Dr. Jay Spates, who was one of the panelists, he pointed out that we seem to be in a culture of, if anyone is different than me, if anyone doesn't think like me, if anyone doesn't feel like I feel, or see the way I see, or look like me, or act like me, then they are the enemy. That's the culture we're in. If you're not me, you're not one of us, you don't look like me, you don't think like me, you don't sound like me, you don't worship like me, you don't pray like me, then you are my enemy. That's the culture that we seem to be in. And so no longer does the other, the sacred other, is no longer my brother or my sister, but my opponent, an outlier, someone that I must be against. And so if difference is to be considered now some kind of bad thing or a negative thing, the question becomes, is there any hope for peace in the world? If difference is a bad thing, is there any hope for peace in the world? Or is peace even possible amongst people, amongst friends, neighbors? Because everybody is what? Different. Everybody is different. And if we have a culture that has turned something like, I'm going to say like DEI, and some people say A, DEIA, if they have turned diversity or, you know, inclusion Equanimity, or the A is accessibility. If they've turned those things into somehow negative and bad things, what hope is there for peace in the world? How is diversity a bad thing? We're all diverse. Everybody is diverse, even in your own family. None of you think alike, right? And we're blood. If inclusion is somehow considered a negative thing, then none of us will belong. And if there can't be any kind of harmony and equality and equanimity towards other people, then what are we doing? How has those things become something bad, negative? They're a DEIA hire. So what does that mean? So what? If you equate those things with less than, not good enough. No, it doesn't mean that. It means bring everybody into the circle. Everybody has a part to play. We are part of a collective, and every individual part creates a whole, and the whole is greater than the individual parts. So somewhere we have gone off on the rails, and it's time for us to reorient our consciousness and our thinking again. And when people say those kinds of things, to speak up about that and to ask, how is that a negative thing? How? Can you explain to me how inclusion is not a good thing? Can you explain to me how diversity, because the earth itself is diverse. The flower population is diverse. There's not just roses. There are roses and sunflowers and, you know, peonies and some of these and some of those. It's diverse. You cannot have growth and life and evolution with just one single focused approach to life. We're all cells that have divided and we look different. We come from different parts of the world. Nature, evolution believes in diversity. Look around. So there's a culture that has somehow gripped us that says these things are not good. And I said it's when we're living in the upside down world. But if we adopt that and we accept that, then there is no hope for peace in the world. What this election has shown us, I think, is how deeply entrenched everybody is in their own perspective and in their sense of rightness. And I put myself smack dab in the middle of that because I have my own point of view, my own sense of rightness and righteousness, right? But people have begun to draw lines in the sand. And some of them are willing to lose friendships and relationships. I don't know how the Thanksgiving dinner is going to be around the table for some folks, but it might be hot this year. I don't know. I was meeting with a friend, and I casually asked her, had she voted yet? And she replied, no. That she was still making up her mind. My hair was... What? Still making up your mind? What is there to consider? The difference is obvious. It's clear. It's transparent. And I began to rattle off a list of everything that one particular candidate had done or said. How can you consider, what is to consider about this and this and this and this and this and this? And I was just rattling it all off. I was getting heated because I was shocked. You know, I couldn't get it. And then the comment was made, well, These are the things that people are saying about certain candidates, but both sides lie. And when I heard that, I went another, whoo! So now my head was spinning around. And I was like, what? I was just flabbergasted. Because I thought, you know, I knew this. So this is a person who I respect, who I love, who is kind, who is generous, who is always good to me, kind to me. I look to them for advice, for guidance and direction, and they always give me a certain sense of truth. And so I value them so much, and I trust what they offer me because it feels like it's coming from spirit to help me. And so naturally, I was just like in a state of what in the world is going on here? And I said, well, I'm going to look up, because they were saying, well, these are things that pundits and the news people are saying about Buck, but I haven't heard. I said, well, if you haven't heard, you haven't been listening. And I said, I could go on the internet right now. I'm going to go on the internet and I'm going to show you and pull up all these things that this candidate has said. You know, and I did that the next morning, but then I felt, you know what? Mm-mm. This didn't feel right. And even though it disturbed me, that's not my job, because I know that this soul can look up stuff if they want to look up stuff. So I don't need to be about that. But what it made me do, because I was so taken aback and disturbed in my spirit, that I even found myself questioning whether I could be friends with this person. Whether I could be friends. And the thought of that just really disturbed me. And so I began to just take my attention off of this person, and I needed to put it back on myself. And I began to look at my responses and my reactions and my questioning whether I could be friends with this soul who is just a beautiful soul who I know is a good person. I've experienced nothing but the best and the highest from this person. And so I had to look at my own willingness to question whether I could be friends. Look at my own limited consciousness. Look at my own judgments that I was make, that I would be willing to exclude or to cast somebody out of my space simply because they couldn't see what I see, because they didn't think like I thought. I don't know if they didn't think, but they weren't on that immediate same wavelength that I was on. And so it was such a stark contrast that I had to just stop and think. And while, of course, I've come to the conclusion, I'm not comfortable in casting, you know, one of the phrases that I love that I learned when I was taking this meditation mindfulness course, and I remember Tara Brach saying, never cast anyone out of your heart. You could disagree, whatever, but do not cast people out of your heart. And I realized I can't cast this soul out of my heart because I know too much of the goodness that lies within. And so what I had to do was to say, I'm not comfortable in casting them out of my heart, but I do have some raised eyebrows. I do say to myself, I am looking like, you know, I'm giving a little side eye. I'm going to love you, and I'm going to continue to do that, but I got my eye on you. But it made me think that we all have those places in our being where we're showing up maybe not quite like others would think we should, or maybe not like our best and perfect selves. And I know when I show up like that, I certainly want, you know, somebody to extend what? Understanding towards me. I certainly want them to still accept me. I certainly want them to still love me, even though they may not agree with my path or my chosen life, you know, path to walk on. But I still want that love. And so I said, I have to extend that if that's what I want. And so somehow or another, we have to learn how we can live in peace with one another. And so I'm willing to offer, you know, understanding and acceptance, because that's what I want for myself. Amen. And so when I realized my peace was disturbed, I said, peace is an inside job. Peace is an inside job. It's not something that we get from the absence of conflict. People think, oh, peace is when there's no conflict. No, 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 no. Because there's going to always be conflict. I don't care if you're living with, you know, your sweet and wonderful, sainted 96-year-old mother. There may be an incident or a moment in time when we are not seeing eye to eye. But would I dare to think that I should cast my mother out of my life because we have a... No. So if we're thinking that peace is going to come about when there's no absence of conflict, then we are not going to allow peace to prevail. It's an inside job, and we have to cultivate the consciousness of peace. You got to work on that just like you have to cultivate, you know, your prosperity consciousness. You're working on that, aren't you not working on that? Yeah, you're working on that consciousness. You want to eliminate those thoughts of scarcity and not enoughness. And so you want abundance. So you're working on that prosperity consciousness. You work to build and cultivate a health consciousness. When you don't feel well, you're trying to get that place of your health. Well, let me build up my consciousness. There's only wholeness. There's only God. So we work on that. The same thing with peace. We have to cultivate that consciousness. It's something we work on within ourselves. Because if we think that peace is something that is achieved when conditions and circumstances are perfect, you're going to be out of luck again. Because there are no perfect conditions. There are no perfect circumstances. Sometimes we think that there are, and we get hung up on that. It's got to look a certain way, but, you know, there's no perfect condition. And so if we think that peace will be achieved because somehow all the stars have aligned and now the condition is perfect, then you know, peace will never happen. Peace will never be possible. Because it is about, true peace is about finding the ability to experience peace in the midst of chaos, in the midst of conflict, right? That's when you have it, when you can find it in the midst of it, not when the outer circumstances are somehow perfect, but when your inner state of being is in alignment, then peace can ensue. So when you have peace in the midst of conflict or chaos or your interactions with others, then you got something. Then you're working on something. Do you know how much power you amass when you can actually be centered in the midst of conflict? Others are like, ooh! But when you are centered in the midst of all that is flailing around you, you got power. Your power, you're not wasting your energy struggling and fighting and resisting and opposing, right? You're centered. It doesn't mean that you're not going to deal with whatever needs to be dealt with. It doesn't mean that you're not going to come up with great solutions how to handle the situation, but you're not taken aback with just moving around and your consciousness is all over the place. You're centered. You're poised. You're peaceful. You're open. You're receptive. And in that state of mind and being, you then can hear what the direction should be. You then get an inkling of, okay, I need to do this. I need to do that. But when we are just as confused and clouded as the other person, you don't hear a thing. And the things that we come up with might not be grounded in truth, grounded in a higher way. We come up with stuff, but it may not work. It may just exasperate the situation. Because what we might come up with when we're not centered and clear and poised, we might come in with that lower vibration. It says, okay, you want to duke it out? Let's duke it out. You know? And so we're just on that same level, that same energy level. So we gain power then when we can be centered within ourselves. Isaiah 26, verse 33 says this: Thou will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. That's from the King James Version. And, you know, I like to use different versions. And this is what the English Standard Version puts it. This is how they put it. You will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts you. Trust in the Lord forever, for the Lord God is an everlasting rock. So what this says to me is that peace and trust in God go hand in hand. If I have trust in God, then I don't have to worry about anything else that's happening in my life. All the situations, all the circumstances. First, let me keep my mind stayed on God, stayed on the good, stayed on the truth. Even though I have an appearance before me that's showing up completely to the contrary. Because when I look out here at this world, woo! I keep saying, God, where are you? But God is always where God is. We are the ones who have what? Strayed. And so thou will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. God is always, like I said, a rock, solid. So the point that we want to do is learn to keep our faith, our trust. The Bible says, have faith in God. Keep all that in God, because that is like, because God is like an everlasting rock. That's a sure, steady thing, right? The only thing that we can really trust. So peace and trust in God go hand in hand. But what we are seeing today is that there's an overwhelming expression of mistrust. Mistrust is being cultivated and promoted, right, as a way to gain power. In order for me to gain power, if I can deceive you, if I can cause you to mistrust who you are, mistrust the systems, mistrust the government, mistrust everything and everybody, look at your neighbor kind of, you know, with hesitation. It's all about mistrust. And we can see what that yields. But peace and trust in God yields something completely different. And we need not use mistrust and deception as a way to gain power, because power gained that way will never last. Never. The real source of power, we know, is a power that lies within us. Oh, if everybody understood and knew that. We wouldn't be hungering for power out here, power over people, power over things. We know that we have power within things and that there's a source that lies within us that is the true source of power. And that power, that presence is God. It is God, the Spirit of the living God that indwells us. And so it is up to us to begin to trust that power. Whatever your situation, whatever your circumstance, go within and start trusting the power, the presence of God, of good, of spirit, of life, of truth, that lies within you to begin to do a mighty work in you and through you, to move you through the situations and circumstances that you find yourself in. This is what we are trying to do. And when we begin to trust the power, then you can trust the process. Sometimes we don't trust the process because we don't trust the power. Trust in the power of God, and you can then trust the process of good that will work its way out. That's the role that we are seeking, because when we can do that and begin to trust that power and to seek that light and that energy first, then we will begin to be guided and empowered from on high. Not powered from anything out here or from a person, but powered from on high. And when you are empowered by God, there ain't no stopping you. There ain't no stopping you. So this morning, I found myself in the car saying, I am empowered by God. Let me hear you affirm, I am empowered by God. Together, I am empowered. Once more. Who? That's right. That's the only source, baby. There's no other source that we need to rely upon. There are channels through which this source will work. Systems through which the source will work. But you go to God first. And then as the saying goes, and the man as God directs. But we trust in the power and presence of God. So don't waste your time flailing against your perceived enemies. What did Paul say? We have seen the enemy and it is us. So don't waste your time struggling out here against your perceived energy. Use your time. Use your energy. Use your resources to bring light into the situation, light into the world, because we know that the darkness cannot overcome it. I don't care how much darkness I see out there. I'm going to trust in the process that the light will always overcome the darkness. So what are you doing to bring about light? What are you doing? What's your work right now? What are you doing to bring about the good? What are you doing to shine forth, to use your spiritual energy, to use your spiritual power to bring about this good time, this good energy? Because see, this is our time. This is our time. This is why we have come, right? And so I was thinking, I said, you know what? Here's the call. Light bearers, stand out and come forth. Light bearers. I know there was a call that once said to a group, stand by and stand back. But I'm saying right now, light bearers, stand out and come forth. That's the call for you. Light bearers, stand out and come forth. It's game on at this time. This is go time. Did you feel that? This is go time. Right? This is time for us to do our thing. No more waiting for things to change. We are the change. It's in our hands. This is our moment. This is our time. And we must stand out and come forth, shine forth. And I think that the people of the good people of this nation are doing that. I don't listen to any other pundits, polls, whatever. Mm-mm. There are far too many good souls on the planet, and we are going to stand out and stand forth. For sure, for sure. I have a good friend who's in a group that I am in called the Evolutionary Leaders, and his name is David Gershon, and he's the founder of what he calls the Empowerment Institute. And he has a vision, a goal, and a plan for peace on earth. Peace on earth by 2030. Now that's his vision, peace on earth by 2030. And when we hear that, if we're honest, we go, well, I don't know if that's possible, 2030, that's right around. Peace on earth by 2030, that's his thing. Now that's a big vision, but we know that sometimes when you want to invite God in, you need a big vision so that you know it was nothing but God that did it, right? So it's a big vision, a big plan, and a big purpose, but I'm interested in loving it. We had a conversation. He and Lori Russo is here. We were on the phone the other day, and he was explaining to me what he calls the peace game. And I know that Lori and Reverend Celeste and a few others are engaged in it, but we want to be able to, the goal is to have as many people as possible playing this peace game around the world and on the planet. Because if there are enough people that play the game, then it creates a tipping point, and then the reality that peace can become a reality. You know, the whole thing that when you have a certain number of people working towards or holding a vision or holding a thought, that it grows exponentially, and then the opportunity for something to manifest is far greater. It's like the 100th monkey, you know, when enough people do one thing, then all of a sudden it spreads throughout. So this is the whole thing that the peace game is designed to do, is to bring that tipping point and get a lot of people playing it. And so I wanted to read some things. So he sent me some material because we're trying to get, he's trying to get what he calls peace zones. And I'd love for unity to become a really big peace zone and to have as many people as possible to engage in playing this peace game. But let me just share what he says about it. This is shifting hearts and minds, the power of individual transformation. Because it all starts where first? With us, and then it expands what? Outward to the collective. So it's essential to the peace plan is the belief that lasting peace necessitates a fundamental shift in human consciousness. Because if consciousness doesn't change, we're going to do the same thing over and over and over. We've been down this road before of division and hatred and prejudice and racism and greed. We've been down here before. So it says, Lasting peace necessitates a fundamental shift in human consciousness, a transformation of hearts and minds. This transformation, as envisioned by the plan, which is this peace plan, is not about imposing a singular ideology, but rather cultivating essential peace practices within individuals. So cultivating inner peace. He says it highlights the importance of inner peace as a prerequisite for outer peace. So we're going to do both. It emphasizes that true peace starts from within individuals achieving a state of equanimity, of being in harmony with self, others, and the earth. The peace game, with its seven core practices of empowerment, oneness, unity, cooperation, abundance, love, and faith, acts as the primary tool for nurturing this inner transformation. So we're going to start with these qualities of being, going into them, understanding them, working with them on our own consciousness, right? So we have this inner transformation. These practices, rooted in principles of interconnectedness, compassion, collaboration, are intended to help individuals transform internal barriers of fear, prejudice, and indifference that often fuel conflict. So first we're going to work on self with these principles, and then we begin to extend outward. So translating inner transformation into outer action. Because, you know, the time for talking a good game is over. We need to start doing the do. We got to do the thing, right? It's time to do it. So he says the plan recognizes that inner transformation must manifest in concrete actions to create tangible change in the world. What are we going to do? Michelle said, do something. Do something. So this also takes us to working on self, and then after you work on self, what are you going to do now to put this transformation into actions that will change the world? This is where the action-oriented nature of the peace game comes into play. Participants are encouraged to actively apply the seven peace practices in their daily lives, transforming themselves into change agents or agents of change. And this includes bridging the divides divides with those different from ourselves, and discovering the common humanity they share with others, and furthering cooperation for the common good. And there's a lot more. So what we're going to do is we'll have a sort of informational gathering of time of working with David. I believe we set December 11th, and I'll send that out in an email to everybody, because I would love for us, we're light bearers, let's do this work. And he has a practical way in which for us that we can not only work on ourselves, but come up with plans and opportunities for us to actually put some feet to our prayers to do this thing, to create peace on earth zones. And so hopefully unity will become a peace on earth zone, as he says. So look out for that. Look out for that. Because we have work to do. Peace is possible. It is possible. It's up to us to do it, to bring it about. So start with your own life. Look at your own life and see where peace needs to happen. Look at your own life and see where you need to bring some light into your situations and circumstances. Start there. Bring the light there. Heal yourself so that you can become a transparent vessel for the energy of God to now flow to and through. So I have one thing to say. Light bearers, stand out and come forth. Blessings. Oh, blessings. And go vote. No excuses. Go and vote.